right now on VFN TV, we're going to talk about how the American Jews are returning to Israel. Prophecy is being fulfilled. A very exciting thing. Also, we're going to talk about, you know, what does this Iran deal really mean? The deal that our leaders are cutting with Iran that talks about giving them potentially nuclear capabilities in the next 10 years. It means something really significant, and it makes us think about Dietrich Bonhoeffer during the days of Hitler and what he had to do as a German citizen, because they began to, you're going to be really surprised. What we're going to talk about today is the fact that this particular agreement says that if somebody attacks Iran, then America will have to defend them. Well, Israel's going to have to defend themselves. Will we find ourselves fighting against Israel? Will we, America find themselves fighting against Israel today, right now on VFN TV?
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics in areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably, we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
No, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
Now that we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going
to
be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, you know, for the church is ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. I want to talk about prophecy. When you think about the Lord said that he would gather his people, he would gather the Jews and give them their own nation, and we've seen that take place in 1948, you know, with Harry Truman and the signing of all the things that we talked about in the past, you know, President Harry Truman. But today we're seeing, even though Israel's surrounded on all sides, that Jews, even American Jews, are saying, you know, I want to go back to Israel. I want to go to Israel, not necessarily go back, but go to Israel. I want to be a part of the nation of Israel. I want to live amongst there. As a matter of fact, they're saying this is probably one of the safest places to be. It's exciting because you would think the last thing you'd want to do when Israel's surrounded is to be able to do that. But that God's word is coming to pass as Jews, even American Jews, are going back to Israel. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
Cultural differences and leaving family behind can make immigration to Israel difficult. But more and more Jewish Americans are making Israel their permanent home. CBN correspondent Julie Stahl has this story.
Seeing Jewish people return to Israel is like watching Bible prophecy unfold before your eyes. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel all speak of the Jewish return to the land.
It's an exciting day. 232 new immigrants arrived in Tel Aviv's Ben Gurion Airport from North America to make Israel their home.
Jewish Agency Chairman Natan Sharansky and government officials welcomed the group.
Only think for a moment, each of you, about your fathers, your grandfathers, your great-grandfathers, all those generations of your families, of Jews, who you're dreaming and praying next year in Jerusalem. And you did it.
19-year-old Max Kresh came from Detroit. He's one of 59 newcomers joining the Israel Defense Forces as a lone soldier or one without any family here.
I came to yeshiva last year. I studied in yeshiva. And being in Israel, learning in Israel, and living in Israel influenced me and it made me realize how much I really love being here.
Almost 30 families with 75 children make up this group of new immigrants. They include Lisa and David Parshan, along with two children.
It was really nice to watch people, like just like us, coming off. They're all jet-lagged, but with a smile on their face. It was a really very exciting experience.
Their older daughter, Shira, paved the way 2 years ago.
You know, Mashiach is coming, and I knew that Israel is the place to be, and I made Aliyah when I was 17 years old.
This group arrived on an El Al flight chartered by Nefesh B'Nefesh. The organization partners with the government to help North American and British Jews make Aliyah and adjust to life here.
I just think that every Jew should be struggling with the issue of the Jewish homeland, and that's not just a slogan, but it's rather an opportunity.
Since 2002, the group has brought about 45,000 immigrants from the U.S., Canada, and England. Co-founder Rabbi Yehoshua Fass explained why they come.
You don't want the immigration from America to be an aliyah of a wave of necessity, of running away from something, of distress, duress, persecution. You know, you don't want that. The beauty of North American immigration is that people are choosing.
Julie Stahl, CBN News, Ben Gurion Airport, Tel Aviv.
This is so exciting because you're seeing the fulfillment of prophecy. God said that he would begin to gather his people, gather the Jews from around the nations, and it's been happening and happening and happening, you know, as we're seeing it take place. But you think, though, this particular moment when such adversity is put in place, but then he says, you know, I will send fishermen to fish for you, then I'll send hunters to hunt for you. God's going to save Israel. God loves the Jewish people. God has a plan in store, a specific plan in store to be able to show himself mighty. And it just, Israel alone proves the awesomeness of God in the context of his word. But here we are right now in this day when our leaders, Secretary of State John Kerry and the President Barack Obama and their leadership have cut this deal. And if you go back and look at the historical speeches of our president, he says the world follows America's lead. If America does not lead with the global warming, then no nation will do it. But America just led with this deal with Iran, and now look what happened in the context of it. A deal has been signed or going to be signed. As a matter of fact, take a look at this first because you're going to hear where that particular deal's at right now with our leaders in Washington, D.C. in regards to making a deal with Iran so that they can actually have a pathway, supposedly, in the reports are, to be able to build a defense they could eventually use against Israel, even against America. Take a look at this.
Senate Democrats now have enough votes to filibuster attempts to block President Obama's nuclear deal with Iran. Four new Democratic senators came out in favor of the deal Tuesday. Republicans say it's a bad deal that gives Iran too much freedom to pursue its nuclear agenda. Senate Republicans were hoping to pass a measure opposing the deal, but it now looks unlikely that the Senate will get to vote at all. Former Vice President Dick Cheney says the Iran deal will only allow Iran to grow more dangerous.
Approval of this agreement will not prevent a nuclear Iran, along with a pathway to a nuclear arsenal. They have placed on the table for congressional review a deal that provides weapons and funds to a regime that has pledged to destroy Israel and maintains death to America as a central pillar of its policies.
He says the deal will allow Iran to obtain the funding to support terrorism and pursue their goal of destroying Israel.
thing, their goal of destroying Israel. They're saying death to Israel, death to America, and we're cutting a deal with them. It just seems like those biblical days when you're watching a nation and the world turn in on itself, and it's like, what is taking place? It makes me think of this, and this is the dilemma here. As you can see, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, there's an autobiography of him that was written here. It's called Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, and Spy by Eric Metaxas. And you got to read this. You need to take your time and read this, because we are so walking out the days of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he's just a man that loved God and was wanting the church to pay attention to what was going on at the time, and they weren't listening. We talked about in an earlier program, you got to catch it, about, you know, this day of transition, what is it like? I think he spent a lot of time with people who weren't listening, who didn't want to hear God. They mocked what Dietrich was saying, and he probably could have been even reached a lot more if he probably wouldn't have worried about the religious group. But anyway, so this Dietrich, he had no problem wanting to be able to, you know, serve the military of his country, to be in the German army, to defend the nation. But all of a sudden, the nation switched when its leadership switched. A new leader came over Germany, name was Adolf Hitler. And what Adolf Hitler was standing for with the Nazi party was against the Jews. He could not stand up and fight with a country. He couldn't stand up and fight with a country that was fighting against the Jews. Here he was wanting to be able to serve in the military, but he couldn't serve in the military with, it was totally against his conscience. He wasn't going to participate in the persecution, you know, of the Jews, and that's what was happening with the Nazi party. Well, guess what? With this particular deal going on, the reports are that in this agreement that some of it's made known, some of it's not made known, it says very specifically, the reports are that whoever, if someone attacks Iran during this agreement period, that America will defend Iran. Well, if they're getting weapons to try to destroy Israel, Israel's going to defend themselves. That puts America in a place, and the military in a place, that based on what their agreements are, that the military would have to fight for Iran against Israel, against the Jews. This is just like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. That was exactly what was going on. It's like, we cannot go that route. We have to contact our congressmen, contact our senators, contact our president. This deal needs to stop. But they're saying, as you just heard, that they've got it veto proof where this thing can go through. These are tragic days in regards to America, the world, and what's happening with Israel. But as Christians, we cannot be silent. We have to learn and practice standing up. What does it mean to stand? We got to stick together. And in this day, it's not going to be real popular to be Jewish or Christian. But guess what? The reason why is because it's good to be a Jew and it's good to be a Christian. And why would anybody even attack that in the first place? But right now, we're being positioned just like was positioned with Dietrich Bonhoeffer in the days of Germany when he was walking out this revelation of what was going on. And all of a sudden, he's like, the church was debating, like, should we actually serve in the military? Because what the military is doing is evil and what it stands for. And look, it's happening right now in America. We got to pray for our military. We got to pray for our leadership. And we got to say, you know what? Never will I fight against Israel. I stand with Israel and I support Israel. We're going to talk more about this after the break. Join us.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, we can learn so much by those that have gone before us.
Yes.
And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he's a great lesson.
Hero? You know? I mean.
Hero. And he spent so much time trying to convince the people who were religious to let go of the religion and follow God.
Right.
You know, and he kept on just kind of working his way through all that. And we have programs on it. We'll make it related to this program so you can go see it on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. But, you know, he finally just said, listen, we got to start the confession church. You know, this is the authentic church. You know, like Dr. King says, I believe there's a church within the church, the true ecclesia.
And because he struggled with, you know, why is the church so silent under such great injustices? And he concluded was there's actually a church inside the church, the true ecclesia. And I believe it was like eight pastors is the, all that Dietrich all got to stand with him in the days of Hitler, because they were thinking politically how to
think about that. Just eight pastors in all of Germany to stand with Dietrich in the face of such gross evil.
And the others thought they were right. And so that's a, that alone should put the fear of God in everyone to say, you know what, we got to just do what God says. And the thing about it, when you follow God, the consequences are the same as what happened with the teacher, Jesus Christ. He said the student will not be treated any better than the teacher. And so that if things happen to us, and understand this, this is so important to understand, your enemies and your critics are going to feel like they've succeeded when you follow God. But they'll realize only at the judgment seat of Christ that they didn't succeed at all.
That's right.
If you're trying to live your life so that your critics, you know, words over you don't come to pass, you're missing it. You have to understand, you follow Jesus and the cards fall where they fall.
That's right. The cross looked like a defeat to the critics. It was the greatest victory.
Of course. It was a great victory for us. And I mean, on and on again. It's just, you know, we're called to suffer for doing what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, in America, this generation, suffrage hasn't even come anywhere near this. Mm-hmm. Our poorest person in America, not just everyday Joe, but the poorest person in America is richer than like 70% of the world's population, something like that. 70% of 7 billion folks. And it's like, no, Pat, not yet. And so, you know, so Dietrich, here we are right now, and we're looking at a day where a government and governments around the world are organizing against the Jews and Christians. You're seeing it take place. And it's like a disconnect, because the Christians who are seeing other Christians beheaded and suffer and have to be run out of Mosul and out of their communities and towns, it's a disconnect. Like, that's you. That's us. Yeah. You know, that's us. And when the Jews are persecuted as the church, that's us. We should be feeling their pain and standing with them in the context of that. And so positioning yourself, you can really learn from Dietrich and understanding, and he was a very intelligent man, and so you can really, his thoughts and his letters that he wrote, you can read them. And Eric basically was saying, we're in those days, you know, we need Dietrichs to rise up. And I believe there's going to be a lot of Dietrichs that rise up. But we have to stand for what God is saying. And he single-handedly, potentially, was responsible for the German Church Reformation.
Wow.
Because he stood. And he stood like, this is not right. You cannot stand idly by while the Jews are being persecuted. Mm. You can't stand idly by while Christians are being persecuted. No, you don't embrace Hitler. You know, you don't do that. This guy is not one of us. And they're saying, well, he's a member of the church. And so the government began to say, you know, what could be printed in the church bulletins, participate in the elections that were taking place. Who's going to be over the church?
Talk about a seared conscience. My goodness.
Yes, yes.
Just keep ignoring the truth, and you'll fall deceptively to a lie.
And that's why we have the First Amendment. The First Amendment is to protect us from the government, not the government from us. And but we're seeing those things happen even now. And so it makes me think about, this particular author that wrote a book talking about what's at our borders, and he thought about it, you know, with his own borders, because he's an American, I believe, that's fought for years in the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. But what he wrote about in this article is about, you know, ISIS underground highway in America is right at our back door, and he talks about that. And in his book, he was talking about, you know, I believe the name of his book is Day of the Dead. Wow. He kind of writes this fiction truth thing, and he begins to, you know, compare it. One thing that he learned about in Israel and fighting for Israel, and it's like, you know what? You know, we need to stand up. You know, if America goes dark, if you really take a moment to understand the other nations in the world, then the world's going to go dark.
Mm.
It's going to go dark. I mean, it's going to go dark, because America has been a light. America has helped many people. The world runs off the dollar and the value of the dollar. If things get costly here, you can only imagine what they're going to cost the people who actually take products from here, and the prices get raised. I mean, the islands and the different nations and Africa and all these different countries. And it's like, but we can make that choice of to do that or not to do that. So he warns in this particular book, I believe his name is Dan Gordon, as he's speaking about, you know, right at our back door in America. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
You know, there are many microbes trying to attack your body all the time. There are germs and pathogens and so forth. And as long as your body is strong, it will put off those things and you will just keep on living a healthy, happy life. Well, it's the same thing with a nation. As long as a nation is strong and is vibrant, the little bugs that try to come and attack it really don't mean anything, and they cannot do any harm. But right now, this body politic is growing weak and somewhat sick. And so guess what? Terror tunnels, we've heard all about them during the 2014 war in Israel. Hamas dug long tunnels under the Gaza border to kill, kidnap, and terrorize the Israeli. Now, one author is warning that ISIS could use the same tactic to strike American cities. Chris Mitchell has that report.
During the war, Hamas terrorists used an intricate series of tunnels to carry out sneak attacks. While IDF soldiers stopped those attacks, the tunnels shocked Israelis. At the time, CBN News chronicled their scope and size.
The tunnels are designed to infiltrate Israeli communities like this one close to the border. Gaza is just about a mile that direction. And some of these tunnels are more than a mile long, 60 feet deep, with multiple exits. It proves that Hamas has been planning this for a very long time.
Israel destroyed many of the tunnels, but the frightening memory remains. Dan Gordon, a veteran of six Israeli wars, talked about their effectiveness.
And I can't imagine anything more terrifying for the people who live there than the thought that suddenly the earth opens up, almost like a scene out of a grade B zombie movie, and the walking dead come out, except they're not dead.
I've been a soldier now for 40 years, which is a long time. And the most terrifying thing that I've ever seen was the advent of the terrorist tunnel attacks that happened last summer.
Now, a year later, Gordon, an Israeli American, has written Day of the Dead, a thriller about those tunnels. He says it should be a wake-up call to the U.S.
The country that's most vulnerable to that attack is my other homeland, the United States of America. And far more vulnerable because there are terrorist attack tunnels that exist already. They're called drug smuggling tunnels, and they run from parts of Mexico into California to Arizona and to Texas.
A former FBI agent warned recently that those tunnels could be used as an underground highway for ISIS. Gordon says the drug tunnels could make an unholy alliance between ISIS and the Mexican drug cartels.
They don't have to dig them, they just have to rent them. They have billions of dollars. That's a language that all the cartels understand.
Gordon says ISIS studied Hamas last summer.
They watched what Hamas did. They saw why it failed. They know how it can succeed. And what people don't realize is the Middle East, for ISIS, is their R&D lab. It's their Silicon Valley for what they intend to do to the United States.
He says southern border cities and towns like San Diego are vulnerable.
The reason the United States is so vulnerable to that, we don't have the surveillance over that border that Israel does. We don't have our most elite military units on constant patrol on the American-Mexican border. We have, if you want to talk about juicy targets for ISIS in San Diego, half the Pacific Fleet is at anchor in San Diego.
As an author, Gordon also wrote to entertain. One reviewer said Gordon gets into the mind of a terrorist like no one since Tom Clancy. But Gordon says it has things Clancy never included in his thrillers.
It's a big Tom Clancy, wonderful international espionage, great read. It's the first book that I know of that has a born-again Christian female graduate of Liberty University, female James Bond. At the heart of that book, the other thing is faith. At the heart of that book is something that you and I have both experienced together, which is you may think that you're in control, but the one who's in control at all times is the Almighty.
Gordon refutes the notion he's giving ideas to ISIS. He points out they've already got the blueprints. He says the U.S. needs to wake up to this clear and present danger.
I guarantee you there are people from ISIS right now who are examining U.S. cities And like any military, there are numbers of hot young commanders who are saying, I have a great idea, and they're presenting their plans to the general staff of ISIS. One of those plans is going to get accepted, and one of those plans is going to get implemented. And if I am looking at what's the most logical plan, it's in that book, Day of the Dead.
Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
Boy, that is something, isn't it? Well, we listen, you know? We didn't listen to a man who's crazy. He was a paper hanger, the old corporal with a funny-looking little mustache. Funny little guy. He wrote a book called Mein Kampf, My Struggle. Who paid attention to it? Guess what? 50 million dead people later, the world paid attention after he had devastated Europe, blown up cities, blown up England, killed 5 million Jews, 6 million, I believe, excuse me. That's what happens. We've got to listen to these guys that are talking. Interesting book called Day of the Dead. You can get it where books are sold, and it looks fascinating, huh?
Amazing, but yeah. A frightening scenario. You know,
he's warning. The people are blowing the whistle and saying, look, these things are coming. And again, the body politic, if it's not strong, is vulnerable. And we're vulnerable to millions of immigrants coming across the border from the south. We're vulnerable to attacks from the sea. Clancy had a book about the sum of all fears, I believe, of somebody setting off a nuclear bomb in the Baltimore Harbor. It'd be so easy to get a freighter into a harbor and, carrying a small nuclear device, and it launches. The next thing you know, it blows up the Capitol. I mean, lots of stuff can happen. We are very vulnerable, and only God is protecting us. He's put a mantle of protection around this nation. And we need to continually be worthy of that mantle, and I'm not sure we are. We break his laws, break the covenant, and he says, okay, I'll leave you to your own devices, and I don't want that to happen.
Make sure you catch our earlier program we had this week about, this transition between, how the warnings and then all of a sudden we're moving into the happenings, and it'll encourage you for those of the Lord's, because the Lord's going to take care of those that are his. But when we get back from this break, I want to talk about civil Christianity, because it's we the people in America. If we want the nation to go in a different direction, if we don't like the way it's going, we don't just expect somebody to do it. It's actually we the people who actually does that. And we got to learn how to be civil Christians in a civil land. And we can learn a lot by that. And we'll learn some more about that when we get back from the break. Join us.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
How often have you stopped to consider the power of your words? This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. Well, we've all heard that schoolyard chant that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But that's really not true. Words do hurt. Here's Priscilla Shire.
The Bible says that life and death are in the power of your tongue and the power of my tongue. Are you speaking life over your family or death? Are you speaking life over those things that God has placed in your sphere of influence, or are you speaking death? What is coming out of your mouth? James chapter 3 says that the tongue is one of the smallest instruments of your body that can set aflame the entire course of your life. Is your life on fire? It might have to do with the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Words are powerful. They can bring hurt or healing. And that's a good reminder to speak well for the good of others and yourself. You can hear Priscilla's entire inspirational message today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Brett, if you haven't yet got a chance to go, which is really good when you're a bit woozy, ISIS too, by the way. I know we're going to talk about the torch, but when I didn't start getting seasick until I started seeing other people get seasick.
Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst.
And when I have my kids,
I didn't think
now,
I needed a Dramamine, but if you got an extra one, I'll take about 7.
Well, I know when my kids, they got sick, that didn't bother me at all, but it did bother Donna. My heart would go out. It's like, oh my goodness. But when I was in the Navy and grown men are getting seasick, it was just everywhere. And I thought, I am going to die in this ashtray. It was just all of that was happening. They smoked, so their ashtrays turned upside down. Everything was everywhere.
breakfast.
So I finally made it to the Pala House and got me a big cup of ice and opened up both Pala House doors. And wind was blowing through, and I was laid up against the wall, chewing ice, hoping that I would not get an agreement with what was taking place on that boat. Getting back to the torch, make sure that you get a chance to eat from the bread that we make available for you. Go to VFNTV.com, go to the torch. You can subscribe to it easily, and every day will be in your email. You can sign up for the newsletter. It'll come to you once a week. Go to the torch, go to VFNTV.com and sign up for the torch newsletter. By the way, there's a free gift waiting for you just to honor you for the whole experience, to thank you for the process. And in this relationship, even if it get a bit woozy, we can do this thing if we walk in agreement under our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I mean, you think about when Jesus is walking on the earth in his ministry, he wasn't caught up and concerned with what was happening. And there were so many things going on. If you look at the early church, if you look at in parallel history and what was taking place with the Persians and all that was happening at the time, Rome and what was happening with them, and that, you know, it's not to get caught up in that. This is what Jesus said. When somebody wanted to stop him for the natural political arena and said, you know, we need you to stay in this town to lead it, which is a kind of a big affront to Jesus, because he's like, I am leading.
Right.
He goes, I must be about my Father's business. And that's what we're called to be as followers of Christ, as Christians, Christ followers, is to be about God's business, the Father's business, which is to seek and save that which is lost. And that, and so what we call that is the kingdom business. Yeah, that's the kingdom business. He says that the kingdom of God would come. The kingdom of God is near you. That the kingdom of God is in you, and that our job is to advance the kingdom of God, which is not a natural kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom, and it only advances when we share the good news about the kingdom of God and the King, Jesus Christ, and somebody accepts Jesus Christ in their life, and now the kingdom dwells in their heart. And so no matter what happens in the world, we're called to advance, be in the Father's business, the kingdom business. We call that VFNKB or VFN kingdom business. And one specific, and we focus, as you can see right here on your screen, I guess to the left of me or whatever, that, you know, seven spheres of influence, because Jesus said this. He said, go make disciples of the nations. And so he's called us to disciple nations. And the way you do that, Bill Bright really got a great revelation from the Lord in this, is that there's basically seven spheres of influence in a culture. You know, and if you could just pull up on the main screen where they can see it, you have the church, a religious mountain. You have the family mountain, or family sphere. You have the education sphere, the government sphere, arts and entertainment, and business sphere, and media. And you can pull that back down. But this to understand that, you're seeing it right there, that this is so important to understand that if we're going to impact a nation, we have to begin to impact these spheres, and you call these spheres mountains. That's what we call them, seven mountains. And we're doing that. We just had a VFN KB meeting The Awakening, where, you know, the church became awakened, you know, to be disciples of Jesus, to the point where they began to healings. Over 20-plus healings are taking place that have been happening since then. And we want to be able to send disciples into each of these mountains, including the government mountain, the education mountain, the business mountain, the media mountain, all these different things. We have an intern program at VFN TV where our interns are going through and they're learning and they're being discipled, but they're learning how to do media. And it's amazing to watch what God can do. Maybe that's for you. Maybe you want to be a part of that. Maybe you're called into media. Well, maybe VFN TV is for you, because that would be, just go to VFNTV.com and let us know. But one aspect of that is that we need to in regards to government, in regards to American unique government, because it's not, if you were in Afghanistan, it would be different. If you were in China, it would be different. But the government in America is a government by the people and for the people. And it's not just a theory or an idea. God is going to hold us accountable as the people in America. Did we lead the country? Did we do what's required of a citizen, you know, in America? And one good example of somebody who understood this, who stood up basically, you know, he didn't stand alone, but he was the tip of the spear of what was going on, was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Mm. You know, he was an American and he's a Christian. So you put those two together, he stayed with He stayed with within the Constitution, but he also stayed under God's law in the context of that. As a man, all of us, you know, fall short of that. It's God's mercy and God's grace that actually empowers all of us. And God uses broken people. And
proof positive, right?
Yeah, proof positive for sure. Go to meet my father and et cetera is at the end of that.
That's it.
And so, you know, we can look back and think about how did that, you know, how did they walk that out? Because today we need to stand up for the Constitution. We need to stand up for the rights of all citizens. But we don't need to do it in some political way or some sort of hate way. And what Dr. King understood is that love is the greatest weapon that you can use anywhere. But what I found, John, is when I'm saying one thing and I'm talking one thing and somebody goes, yes, 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 yes. And then you see them manifest what they thought I was saying or what was in their heart. I'm thinking like,
I wasn't saying that.
I wasn't thinking about that. That's nothing like what I was thinking about. And so the question was, and this is a great interview right here, as a matter of fact, where Reverend Jesse Douglas, who was his best friend, was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and he walked with him. And he got to express some things. And he talks about something very important here, and we'll talk about it after you see this. But he talks about the commitments. There's 10 commitments. And that's what with VFN Kingdom Business that we talk about is called, you know, you go to civilchristianity.org, civilchristianity.org, and you're going to see these 10 commitments, the 10 commitments that he's referring to. Because when you agree for these 10 commitments, we can walk together. We can do quite a few things, you know, as one under those commitments, and also filters out for those that have other agendas and those type of things, because it's only by love, it's only by truth, and legally, you know, moving in the context of things. But listen, this is a touching moment where Reverend Jesse Douglas, his best friend was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and his experiences, but also how heartbroken he was when he found out that, you know, Dr. King had been assassinated. As a matter of fact, take a look now.
Anyone. Its object is one which no American.
When President Lyndon B. Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act of 1965 into law, it was a day that changed America.
Wherever, by clear and objective standards, states and counties are using regulations or laws or tests to deny the right to vote, then they will be struck down.
Reverend Jesse Douglas, a co-laborer and friend of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., was one of many civil rights leaders fighting for African Americans' right to vote.
Really, it was our job to defend their rights and to stand up for them to be counted.
Douglas helped spearhead the movement to register voters in Alabama, where they faced very strong resistance.
We were working together in order to secure our rights, but it was not easy. It was not easy.
Tell me about that, about it not being easy.
The white people who resented it would appear at places and try to exert their brutalities, you know, spitting on people, slapping them, pushing them down.
Despite the brutality, Douglas, like Dr. King, stressed nonviolent protest as a means to demonstrate their opposition to the status quo.
The approach that you talked about with nonviolence and from a Christian perspective, how did you get people convinced to go that route when it goes against human nature?
Well, the persons who participated had to sign papers promising that they would not violate our nonviolent procedure of demonstration. Dr. King got us to realize that hate only provokes hate, that violence only provokes violence, and that love is the greatest force on earth.
That philosophy would be tested on March 7th, 1965. 600 peaceful demonstrators gathered in Selma, Alabama, to march 50 miles to Montgomery, the state capital. But on the far side of the Edwin Pettus Bridge, just outside of Selma, state troopers blocked the marchers and attacked them with billy clubs and tear gas. The national media covered this travesty that became known as Bloody Sunday.
The eyes of the nation had been drawn to that situation as a result of the brutality exerted on the people of Selma.
Then on March 25th, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., with Reverend Douglas at his side, led over 25,000 protesters to Montgomery. This time, by order of the president, they marched under the protection of the federal government. 5 months later, President Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act of 1965 into law, giving African Americans the right to vote without facing discrimination at the state and local levels. It was a major step toward racial equality, but the fight was far from over.
It took time, and some people died.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, we anticipated that. But they were doing it for the benefit of their children and their children's children. And they made up in their mind that they were willing to sacrifice their lives.
One of those sacrifices devastated Douglas and their cause. On April 4th, 1968, Dr. King was shot and killed at a hotel in Memphis, Tennessee.
The news struck me like somebody had taken a dagger and pierced me in the heart. I couldn't react. I guess it was one of the greatest hurt that I've ever had in my life. Thank you. I love the man.
Did it seem like what was being fought for went with him?
It did halt the movement for a while because everybody was in mourning. The nation was in mourning.
Over the years, Douglas has continued fighting for the rights of African Americans. He's also been a devoted family man and pastor. Now 85, he fondly remembers his time spent with Dr. King as they envisioned an America where everyone is treated equally.
Before he preached, before he spoke, I would sing his favorite song, which was, "I told Jesus it would be all right if you changed my name."
What does that mean?
When your name is changed, you're changed from a sinner to a saint, and you become committed to Christ and his mission. You're a changed person. You've been born again. Oh, I told Jesus it would be all right if he changed my name.
Amazing. Just your heart just kind of melts, yeah. You know, that your friend that you loved and personally, and then such a tragedy, and there's so much pain, but yet so much victory because they stood, you know, and they were civil Christians in a civil land. And we have, you know, VFN Kingdom business. We've got to learn how to understand that. These 10 commitments are not really options, because what they really are saying that I'm a Christian and I'm gonna act like Christ. I'm gonna do what's right. And you couldn't walk with Dr. King and it wouldn't have worked, because people will use that against a righteous movement. They'll use that. They're waiting for people to swing, waiting for people to be angry, waiting for you to hate. But if you want to move in love, and it's not easy, I mean, it's really not. But if you want to move in love, if you want to be ones that say, you know, I don't want to walk with the people that just ends up doing weird and whack things, and although that we could be weird and all that, is the fact we're looking for a few people that say, you know what, I want to stand. I want to be like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Yeah. I want to be, you know, like Dr. King. I want to be like Reverend Douglas, who, you know, stood and stands today. You know, and it could be that if we do that, the next generation will benefit, like we're benefiting now from Dr. King's stand. So many people are. But the thing is that, are we willing to lay down our lives for the next generation? Are we willing to bridge the gap? If that's you, listen, you can go to civilchristianity.org and read the 10 commitments. And if you want to do that, sign the S10 commitments, and we'll be in contact with you because we're gathering all those who want to stand. And when you've done everything to stand, stand. And we can do this if we do it together.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, it's so exciting to I'm so thankful for those that have gone before us.
Yes.
That we can learn so much. You know, why relearn the lesson? Why not? Why have to have the experience? Why not borrow it from those that have gone before us? And I can guarantee you that, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a Christian, in the presence of God, is looking over the banister of heaven and saying, hello.
What?
Yeah, you know, what? You know, I walked it out. And we're going to have to stand. And you notice that standing alone sometimes is required. And right now, there's a lot of aloneness in it because people are watching, the silent majority is watching from a distance. But that when we begin to stand in numbers, because there's more who believe in God and the original intent of our nation. It's just when you have a camera and you have, you know, people who are trying to promote. If you'll look at secular media, they just stay focused in one area. They do not cover the whole story.
No.
It's amazing what they do. I mean, they have... And people watch it for a news source.
If it bleeds, it leads, right?
Yeah. And so so I want to encourage you that we're doing something, you know,
right.
And your partnership, standing with us, joining, go sign that, those 10 commitments. First of all, think about that. I'm signing the same 10 commitments. It's updated just a little bit with our newer technology, newer day. But you're just like signing the same commitments of those that had to sign to be able to walk with Dr. King. And when you see that, you're going to think, I could walk with somebody that's walking beside me. If they sign those commitments, we're in agreement. And how can two walk together unless they agree? And I'm excited about it because, you know, if one can put 1,000 to flight and two could put 10,000, imagine what 1,000 can do.
Wow.
Who are walking together. And so we're so excited about, you know, VFN Kingdom business and all the things that are taking place. You know, I do want to say, you know, Happy New Year to, you know, Israel, you know, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah just took place, and as a matter of fact, here is a greeting from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Shana Tova to all of you from our eternal capital, Jerusalem. Since last Rosh Hashanah, it's become evident to all but the most bigoted and prejudiced that Israel stands out like a beacon of progress, of modernity, of democracy, and of human rights in a region plagued by fanaticism, by terror, by unbelievable savagery. I said it's become obvious to all but the most bigoted, yet we have those people who are leveling slanderous charges against the one and only Jewish state, the only democracy in the Middle East. And we have to repel those slanders. We do that together as we build our state because we're united, proud of our past, confident in our future. And I ask you in this Rosh Hashanah to join with all Israelis, with all the friends of Israel, with the Jewish people everywhere, and wishing for a better future for the world, for the Middle East, and most importantly, for the one and only Jewish state. Shana Tova.
Wouldn't it be nice to have those kind of things said from leaders
yes.
of our country? It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. We've got a journey for that. But we just want to say Happy New Year. Happy Rosh Hashanah to Israel. This is those Shemitah days, you know,
that's
going on right now, the rest of September. And the epicenter, the apple of God's eye is Israel, you know, and what's taking place. And so stand with Israel. By standing with VFN TV, you're standing with Israel because we're standing together. We stand up for God and country in that order and Israel. We've done, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of programs, you know, on Israel. And we're going to continue as God allows us to report on Israel. So you can stand for Israel and with Israel by standing as a partner, VFNTV partner, prayer and financial partner, by going to VFNTV.com and partner today, or write to VFNTV at 6500 North Palafox, or
Pensacola Boulevard.
Yeah, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. You probably see that on your screen. You know, and just connect with us, and we can do this together. By doing that, we have a gift for you as well. Let's pray right now. I want to pray for the peace of Israel and pray for preparation to be able to stand in this day. And we can do it when we do it in God together. Father God, I thank you, Lord, yes, for your word. Lord, I thank you for those that have gone before us, God. Lord, I thank you for those that have been speaking into our lives from history, those that are speaking into our present day, God. And I just pray right now, Father God, for divine unity to come to your body, God. Lord, just like the Moravians were talking about in the context of, you know, in the essentials, unity, and the non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, love. God, I pray that we would understand that and begin to, you would reveal that to us, God, that we could walk together and be civil Christians in a civil land and stand boldly and in love for what is right within the law, within the Constitution, Father God, for what you want for this land, Father God. I pray for that, and I pray, dear God, that you would end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else. And you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.